What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 1010 on a fired up basketball night Friday here in Philadelphia. Sixers win. Big win. 111-101 over the Dallas Mavericks. Now 43-26 on the season. We'll talk with you in the post until midnight. 610-632-0975. A lot to get into. Saw a lot of encouraging things in tonight's game. We'd like to know what you think. I'll share them with you. Maybe you can tell us as you're leaving the center, if you were in the building or watching at home, letting us know what you saw, how you felt about things in this game as well. 610-632-0975. And I'm all into this game as well on on the tournament tonight. Iowa State about to upset LSU, and I love it. First of all, I've told people before that Isaiah Brockington, local kid, all that. His dad and I are close. Twan is there at the game. Isaiah's having a pretty good game as well as they're getting ready to knock off the LSU Tigers on the road here as they are the underdog in this one. So that makes me happy. A dagger three with about, what was that, like, Dylan, how much was that? Like 17 seconds left on the clock, less than 17 seconds. Big shot there. So glad to see Iowa State potentially moving on as they should be after this one, holding it together, holding it down as they have 16.3 seconds left with a 5-point advantage at LSU. You know LSU is going to go for a quick shot attempt, see if that happens. But look, let's go in the post with this game, NCAA games as well. You could talk about the Sixers, obviously, we go in the post, and also things that happened in the tournament throughout the day. Villanova picking up a 20-point win over the Delaware Blue Hens. But for the Sixers tonight, this was a really good win, a solid win overall. 32 points from Embiid, 8 rebounds, 11 of 20. Not one of his, I guess, dominant, super dominant nights, what we've seen from him. But man, what this is what it has become with him, where he just does go out there and does what he does. 32, 8, 11 of 20, 4 missed threes. He was 2 for 6. So we only are accustomed to seeing him shoot 3 a game. Take away those 4 that he missed, it's 11 of 16. Again, very efficient. 8 of 9 from the foul line. Little less than we're accustomed to seeing with him getting to the foul line. But he did have, how about this, 6 turnovers, of course. He makes up for it with the 5 steals that he gets. The 1 block shot there as well. So you kind of balance those things out. You get the big performance, 32-8. That's an off night, if you will, for Joel Embiid on an efficient evening, but not one where we see these super numbers against the opposition overall for Joel Embiid. And a good win for them, led by their star player. Once again, James Harden late in the game. He had 24, 12 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block shot, 3 of 8 from deep. It was really late in the game in the fourth quarter with the 11 points that he was able to put up and, again, helped lead the Sixers. And it's what Doc Rivers has been talking about, just simply asking him to be a little bit more aggressive as he's out there on the floor, a little bit more aggressive, looking for his shot, not just being a point guard and being just a distributor. 12 assists, that's fantastic. It was the 11 points in the fourth quarter that really helps out the team at the 12 assists. Also coming off of, as Tom McGinnis alluded to, hit the control of the game, his IQ, understanding how to pick apart the defense, the mismatches that Doc Rivers was also talking about, finding those mismatches tonight for the Sixers, hunting them, if you will. The same thing we talk about that teams try to do to the Sixers. You saw it here once again tonight, but instead we saw the Sixers finding the matchups that they felt were favorable and getting it done like they did tonight, especially James Harden late when he was matched up against Maxi Kleber, etc. And again, walking away with the victory overall. 14 for Tobias Harris. A quieter night as far as the field goal attempts, maybe even not the number being as big, but efficient, timely buckets. For Tobias Harris, one again big late in the game, 105-98, pretty much icing it at that point for the Sixers, 105-98 after Tobias Harris knocks down that three-pointer. He chipped in with 4 boards, 3 assists as well, and Matisse Thybulle with 10. He had 7 quick early on with a 3 early, and a couple of layups, dunk opportunities as well. Finished with 10 on the night, and he was really good tonight. Two steals, one block shot, only three personal fouls. What we have seen a little bit throughout the course of the season is they've been fining him, the officials, a little bit with some of the calls that they have gone against him. And instead, tonight, he was very smart with how he was defending. Sure, the blocks and all from behind as he trailed the offensive player, but still getting a block, poking away the basketball, getting a steal, whatever he does, very good defensively tonight. George Niang finding his shot. Everyone loves George Niang. The minivan does his job, does what he does. 12 points, big shots in the third quarter. He had three threes in the third that made it 73-68. Comes back after the Mavericks score, 76-70. All right, let's do it again. 79-73. He can get hot. He did. Got the help from the bench that you needed. 8 points, some good minutes from DeAndre Jordan. 8.7 boards, one block shot as well. 3 of 5 from the floor in 13 minutes and 8 seconds. And Danny Green, 1 of 6 from beyond. All of his shots tonight were all from the three-point line, making one of them tonight. As the Sixers had 4 more made threes, 16 makes from beyond to the Dallas Mavericks, 12. They did a good job defensively on Luka Doncic as a team. Matisse Thybulle, individually, 17 points. And he just struggled. Was frustrated a little bit. Had 6 turnovers, 2 of 10 from deep, 5 of 9 from the flat foul line. He was clearly off, but it's not just him being off, having an off night. He was clearly off because the Sixers did their job, and they did it the right way, slowing him down, as we talked with Tom, talked about with Tom McGinnis, slowing him down, not shutting him out, because you can't do that. He's too much of a great player and MVP candidate. One, as far as being in the top five, as far as the conversation goes, slowing him down. They did that. 17 points for Luka Doncic tonight. Spencer Dinwiddie with 12. Dorian Finney-Smith, 11. Dwight Powell, 14. As the Sixers, once again, 111-101 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. Their 20th win at home. They now have 6 home games remaining. 2 more in the next 3 days. Back-to-back Sunday, Toronto. Monday, Miami. Toronto tonight. As we get ready to look at the scoreboard here, 128-123, Lakers beat the Toronto Raptors in overtime, 128-123. As far as the Bulls, they are playing the Phoenix Suns currently. Suns up by 113-12. Boston 7-0 early lead in the first, 9-0 over the Sacramento Kings as they just scored as we're talking, 9-0 lead right now. So good win for the Sixers. Really good win. You could talk about this one as being one of the better wins of the season. It may not jump at you and be all super exciting overall as a game in general. They did it from front to back. Even though they got off to the slow start again that Doc Rivers talked about, didn't have enough energy in the start tonight for the Sixers. They won every quarter after that and walked away with a 10-point win, up by as much as 20 points in the game, leading the Sixers to a, once again, 111-101 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. So we'll take your phone call, 610-632-0975. And folks, just because we're in the post talking Sixers, we're not going to ignore what is going on, which is the NCAA tournament. Some really good games. We just talked about Iowa State beating the LSU Tigers. Good to see that for me, for anybody who had it in the bracket. But for me, of course, just the personal matter, I'd like to see my man Tuan Sun get the job done, leading the way tonight for the Iowa State Cyclones with the win here. Tonight, Villanova 80-60 over the Delaware Blue Hens. Miami upsets USC in a 10-7 matchup. You also had earlier today, as far as some upsets go, when you look at everything, Notre Dame, the 11th seed, playing in the play-in, the final four to get in the play-in tournament, they defeat Alabama, the 6th seed, 78-64, and Illinois just gets the victory tonight. Just gets the victory. I don't like watching that team play. It's just me. I don't like watching that team. 54-53, Tennessee, Chattanooga. They get the 1-point win over them. Duke cruises to a win. So does Arizona as a 1 and a 2 seed. And we mentioned just a short time ago, 59-54, the Iowa State Cyclones beat LSU 59-54. So we'll take your phone calls. Tyler Zuli is with us. We thank Dylan McKinnon for hanging out all evening and doing his job, doing a great job as always, as the Sixers win once again, 111-101, and Embiid with his 33rd game this season with at least 30 points for the big fella in the win. Let's start things off in Haddon Heights, where Frank is tipping things off for us tonight. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Frank, starting us off tonight in the post right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Frank?
How you doing, Devon?
Feeling good, man. You know what? Some good basketball all day long in general, but specifically the Sixers. That was a big win, man. That was a big win. Dallas was a hot team, 27-8, Frank, since December 31st.
I did not know that. There are two things. First of all, I thought it was a very quality win. I'm sensing a pattern of James Harden really sitting back. You know, a lot of times the first half before he starts putting numbers in the stats, you know, stat column, and that was certainly this game. And he took over the game late, and I appreciate that. I appreciate his patience. I also appreciate the culture that I perceive he's developing, that Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle, they're not scared to take shots. You know, and if they miss, they miss. And if they make it, they make it. But I really think that made a difference tonight.
Well, as far as being afraid, right, as you said that, to take shots and all, number one, Tyrese Maxey, never afraid to take a shot. Shouldn't be. Very talented, as we know. A really good player, and he has shown that this season. Matisse Thybulle, though, that's the one that really stands out. Even though he doesn't make the shots, Frank, the one thing that we used to ask for from the guy who now plays or, you know, collects a check from Brooklyn Nets is we used to at least ask for you to take the shot, to attempt the shot.
Please jack it up.
Yeah, and Matisse Thybulle has done that. Now, he hasn't knocked him down at a clip that we would like at this stage in development of his career, but he does take them, and it doesn't discourage from taking them. Maybe from time to time we'll see one here or there where we're like, yo, you got to shoot that shot.
How about a 6'9 max contract player?
It's
starting with the name T.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been playing okay the last one, so I'm not getting on him. But look, the culture that you're talking about, especially with the young players chipping in and with Harden being here, picking his spots. I mentioned it earlier, Frank, and I'll ask you this before you go. I said to Jamie earlier when we were doing the Draft Line show that maybe Harden is doing something similar to what Jimmy Butler, as you remember, did in 18, where we were asking for him to take shots. But maybe he's saving himself a little bit more as they continue to win games, but he's not putting up these enormous numbers. He's saving himself for the postseason once we get started.
I'm not going to say he's taking the first half off, but he's not looking to score. He's not looking to have assists in the it's pretty clear that he's not racking up stats in the first half. And then when we get to the second half, he's starting to rack up stats. And then he's putting the ball in the hands of people that it's obvious he's saying, within the team, the coach, everything, like you need to hit that spot up. You need to jack it up and not hesitate.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I see.
And Frank, look, Doc Rivers has already said it multiple times. We want James to be aggressive. In that fourth quarter, he was aggressive. He had the assist already. Now you're talking about the points that they needed to close the game out when Embiid is not on the floor. He did it. He did it, Frank.
This is a quality win.
100%. 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. Frank, thanks for the call, man. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy all of the basketball. Thanks, man. When we come back, we'll get to Ramon. He's leaving the game. Oh, we got to check out Ramon, see what Ramon had to say as he was at the game. Mark in Lumberton. Adam in Germantown is there. We have others. 610-632-0975. Folks, the Sixers won. As Frank just said, a quality win by the basketball team at home for this three-game homestand that they kick off tonight against Dallas. 111-101. Quality win by the Sixers. We're talking about it with you and the NCAA tournament until midnight in the post for all basketball. Tyler Zuli is here as well. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
.1033, 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back in the post. Devon Gibbons, 610-632-0975. Big win for the Sixers, 111-101 over the Dallas Mavericks. As first caller, Frank in Haddon Heights, said, he said it perfectly. Quality win tonight. Now, 13 games remaining on the season, with the Sixers sitting at 43-26, and 13 to go, 6 at home, 7 on the road. Some key games down the stretch, 2 of which will be upcoming, starting this weekend on Sunday against the Raptors, 8:30 start. Monday, back-to-back, the Miami Heat come to town. All right, 610-632-0975. Got a lot to get to. Nick Castellanos, everybody's talking about him. We'll get some thoughts on that with Tyler Zuli as we are here for a while. Anthony Harris, if you did not hear, he is coming back to the Philadelphia Eagles at the free safety position on a one-year deal. So they have one of that position at least filled up right now. We got to see what happens at strong side and just depth in general. They have Marcus Epps coming back, so I think he'll be the other one. But they need another body, maybe in the draft, maybe someone in free agency. See where things go from there. And a few other Eagles notes. Boston Scott, he is coming back to town on a one-year deal after they did not pick up his tender. But he is coming back on a one-year deal. So Boston Scott coming back. We're still waiting to see about Fletcher Cox. In any event, they still need somebody along the front line. So we'll see where they go in the draft as we get there. And, you know, these last few days of free agency where the big names continue to come off the board. 610-632-0975. Moan in Uptown, but he's leaving the game. Might be back in Uptown by now since he's been waiting for so long. Moan, welcome in the post, man. What's going on?
What's going on? Thank you for allowing me to call in, brother.
Anytime, man. Always here for everybody, and you know I'm here for you, man.
Appreciate that, man. I felt good, and that was a very good win. It was quality, but that was a good win against a solid team.
With Doncic.
Luke, I couldn't even think of the brother.
I know, you almost went Jokic. I saved you. That's all right. It's late. It's a long week.
Yeah, but Harden, man, I was really impressed but I was glad to see, as he has mentioned before, Harden trying to find his spots and knowing when, you know, to do what he needs to do. And that third quarter with the bench in there, man, and how they built that 15-point lead and maintained a lot of it, man, gave eight of a lot of good minutes, man. DeAndre Jordan, Danny Green, he ain't hit as many, but I mean, he had a good night. It was a good win, man. I really liked that. And the energy in the building was awesome.
It seemed like it, man. It seemed like everybody in there, sellout crowd again, but everybody was into the game, especially when those Niang threes, they rained down, but he knocked down three of those late. Because remember, it was close, man. It was close.
Yeah.
It was 66-60 when Thybulle hit a three.
Exactly.
And then it was 73-68 Sixers. They answer. Yep. They come back with a bucket. It was 73-70. Exactly. He comes down Niang. He hits another one. Then they hit another three themselves. He hits another three. You know what I'm saying? So it was good to see everybody chipping in tonight. The crowd really got into it on those shots.
Yeah, those shots really brought the level up, man. And it killed. And you kind of rubbed out that momentum that Dallas had that they went on that 7-0 run before the half, and they were coming out. So it was like, you know, they addressed it, man. That was real good. DeAndre Jordan was on point. I mean, that was a good win tonight, man. Just see that consistency, and everybody need to stop trying to get all flaky with it. It still is going to take time for this team to build that right chemistry and all. But 13 games, Harden is doing, and what you alluded to is what I thought. Harden is kind of doing what Butler did.
He knows why
he was brought here, and he knows what he wants. And that's where it's at, man. Everybody just need to relax. You know, like EPNZ would say, y'all, you got to chill. Just relax,
well,
man.
They're 8-2 in the games that James Harden has played, Moan. Thanks for the call, man. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy all the games,
Brother,
man.
You too, man.
Get home safely. Again, eight and two in the 10 games that he's played. And to Ramon's point, as I'm looking at James Harden on Twitter, 13 minutes ago, he posts some photos that I believe will be from the Sixers photographers, Alex Subers, Nina Rasper, everybody who, Nick McCain, who does a great job there. He posts four photos of his teammates, himself, George Niang, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and says, his caption, "We gonna get this blank right." Period. Exclamation point, not a period. Exclamation point. "We gonna get this blank right." Okay. Well, so far, 8-2, their last 10. Good win by the squad tonight. Good win. 610-632-0975. We'll also talk tournament, talk with you as well. We're here for you. We got Adam in just a moment, but Mark in Lumberton wants to talk about both here in the post. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Devon. It's been a minute. How you been?
It has been, man. Glad to hear from you.
But good to hear you, too. You know, like everyone said, been a good win tonight. Was watching tonight's game, was watching some of the tournament tonight. But every time I tuned into the game tonight, it was, you know, like, it felt like they were clicking, you know, it just felt like things were together. You know, you were just mentioning that 8-2 in the last 10 with Harden on board. And I mean, you watch that game and you feel confident, right? I feel a lot more confident in these last 10 games than I did in the 10 games before the trade.
Mm-hmm.
So I think overall we're in a generally good spot.
I believe also, so as well. Yeah, and real quick in the standings after tonight's game, they are half a game back of the Milwaukee Bucks. The Miami Heat, they blew out the Oklahoma City Thunder, so they're 2.5 games of the Miami Heat right now in the standings, and that's why it's an important matchup. Pardon me, 3 games, sorry. That's why it's an important matchup when they face off on Monday back here, because 3 games up, Miami has the rest of the weekend off. The Sixers play on Sunday. They could pick up, they can make up some ground, not only with the game on Sunday beating the Raptors, but a full game on the Miami Heat if they're able to take them down on Monday.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, like, I think both of those games are going to be fun to watch either way. Not going to lie, I don't mind Sixers coming into the postseason at the 3 seed. I think we knock out the Nets. We're in a good spot. And beyond that, you've got Milwaukee, Chicago, and Miami, all teams who we've beaten without James Harden. So I think we're in a decent position, at least in terms of the East. Did want to give a shout out to my boys in the tournament, Rutgers, hard fought battle.
Oh man, that game was amazing. We sat here and watched that game that night, man. That game was amazing. To take it the extra minutes too. Yeah, man.
Listen, I'm a Rutgers alum. I was in school when they were bad. Coach Paquette came the year after I graduated, and seeing everything he's done with the program, seeing the way the players have developed, seeing the way especially like our upperclassmen have played, like Caleb McConnell getting defensive player of the Big Ten, seeing guys like Geo Baker, seeing guys like Ron Harper Jr. really performing, really doing well, mm-hmm. and just, you know, falling short by 1.9 seconds. It is what it is. Really proud of those guys. And if they're listening, no, I'm happy for them.
They're absolutely listening.
Yeah. So, it's 97.5. It's with Devon. Of course they're listening.
That's right. They're listening. They know better. Yeah. My nephew goes to school there. You know, Tyrone and Dylan McKinnon, also alums there like you, Mark. So, yeah, they're listening. Man, it was a great game by them. Great story by them. Great run by them overall. Hey, man, it was really good. So,
hey, and you know what? They're going to be fun in future years. Like, this isn't the end for them. So I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Hey, Mark, great to hear from you, man. Thank you.
Have a good night, bro.
You too. Appreciate it. Drive safely. 610-632-0975. In the tournament right now, just some good games going on overall. We'll keep it going. We'll keep giving you the information on what's happening in these games as we go along until midnight. 610-632-0975. Adam in Germantown joins us next in the post. Adam.
Okay, Devon. I know you can hear me.
Loud and clear.
All right. I'm giving you the truth serum.
Truth serum.
Because I need to know. Because
the Sixers would be true contenders if this guy didn't have no points, no assists, two rebounds, no attempts from three, no field goal attempts in 13 minutes. Just tell me what happened to Milton. What did he hurt his back? What happened to him?
Well, he did hurt his back earlier in the season. That's why he missed those 20-plus games that during that stretch where he was out for so long. There was a back issue earlier in the year. So it's good to see him back. Obviously, we want to all see him contribute more. So do the Philadelphia 76ers. No one more than him. So I don't know. I can't answer if the back is still bothering him. Doesn't appear that he's laboring because of it. So I don't know.
I mean, the only one that can score. I mean, I love that people love Danny Green. It's funny. 1 for 6 from three.
Yeah.
And they're like, Danny Green had a good game. It's like people have like rose-colored glasses with Danny Green. But it's fine. But except the rest of the bench can't contribute because their backup point guard somewhere along the line has passed away, but he's still on the court. I don't understand it. Something took place with Milton that is like permanent, and he's still playing. I just don't get it. He's not like a backup point guard that was making – he was making guys better. He was helping Korkmaz and Green make shots. I just don't know what happened.
I don't know. And that's been a topic of conversation. But even tonight, after not seeing him struggle, the way that he did, no shots and nothing really in the stat sheet, I was just looking at it as overall just being a quality win, man. That's what it was for me. We've been complaining so much about the bench and not contributing. You finally got something extra from DeAndre Jordan. So I'm just looking at it, man. This was a good win despite those things that you're talking about that they did not get.
I agree. It was a great win. Sixers played great. The bench got, over 20 points. That's all you can ask. And it's just a shame the backup point guard somewhere along the line, in my opinion, passed away. But he's still on the court.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Adam. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend.
You too, man. And again, nobody passed away. Backup point guard position, it has been a bit of a struggle, as we know. Backup outside of George Niang. Overall. We're still looking for more. Still looking for more in general. 610-632-0975. Ty, before we get... actually, you know what? Darren's leaving the game. Let's get to Darren. Then we'll get to Larry and everybody and get Tyler's thoughts. We'll get to the college basketball discussion. Darren leaving the center, joining us in the post. What's up, Darren?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Oh, man, that seemed like a good atmosphere in that building tonight.
That place was popping. I'll tell you what, we not only beat the Mavericks tonight, we had to play against the officials. I don't know if you were watching the game. There were three times where they went to instant replay to review flagrant calls on Tobias Harris, and none of them were even close. They were fouled on the Mavericks. So not only did we beat the Mavericks, we had to beat the officials in our building tonight. It was an exciting, wonderful atmosphere there.
They did have some questionable calls tonight. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, Tyrese Maxey goes in for a layup, basically gets mugged. No call there. A couple times with Harden. Again, we had to play against eight people tonight, not just the five Mavericks on the floor. So that's a huge win. I know the previous caller talking about rose-colored glasses, but that's a wonderful win tonight. I know Shake had an off night, but Niang stepped up. Slow first half, but came through in the second half when we needed him, and Harden popped off in the end of the game there. So awesome win for the Sixers tonight.
Can I give you a good quote as you leave the game, Darren, from George Niang? On developing the confidence to shoot his way through slumps, he says, quote, "Yeah, well, missing shots looks bad, but you want to know what looks worse? Traveling or dribbling the ball off your foot. I didn't come here to look cute dribbling the ball." That's how he gets out of his slumps. Shoot the rock. And I'm reading that quote from Derek Bodner, his Twitter account. Derek's a good friend. So, yeah, man, he's not here to look cute. He's here to fire the shots off. Quick trigger. As soon as it touches fingertips, he's firing it up.
Hey, that was a great game for my family. Santa Claus.
Oh, nice.
Christmas present.
Nice.
You know, big celebration tomorrow. I just want to give a shout out. I missed it at the game. My wife is celebrating the 21st anniversary of her 21st birthday. So, in about an hour and 12 minutes. So, I just want to give a shout out to her. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to your wife, man. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You got it, man. Have a good one. Enjoy the birthday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
You too, Darren. Really appreciate it. Ty.
The 25th. That's a great way to put it.
The anniversary of the 21st
birthday.
That's
a great way to put it.
That's right.
How old are you?
Don't worry. A couple of times.
Don't worry about it.
It's my anniversary. Ty, good win tonight. Good evening, man.
Yeah, it was a great win tonight. I think from start to finish, I mean, maybe not from start to finish, but from the second quarter on at least, it felt comfortable. There were a couple of stretches where Dallas put on a little bit of a run, but it felt comfortable tonight. And I think in theory, when you look at and you just do the on paper thing, the Sixers are a superior team to the Dallas Mavericks. I think that's a fair statement to make. But they have been one of the hottest teams in the league. They've won, I think, 7 of their last 8 games, and they're almost an identical record to the Sixers to this point. This is a really good win. Now the goal after back-to-back victories is to finish this weekend strong and win on Sunday against another team that's played much better of late as they had in the beginning of the season. But this is a good, an enjoyable 48 hours for this team because, you've beaten 2 playoff teams. You've beaten 2 really good teams who have probably outperformed their expectations, and both have played well down the for a bulk of the season. It's 2 good wins.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. 1 on the road, 1 here again tonight to start off this 3-game homestand. Cannot overlook that Cleveland win. That was a really good win on the road, a 4-point victory, 118-114. You come back tonight, day off on Thursday, and get a 10-point win at Denver. Dallas, they were waiting for you, too. So you needed that one. So Sunday, as far as the week goes, when you go Sunday to Sunday or Sunday to Saturday, however you guys want to look at it, they start off with a win against the Magic, lose to Denver, pick up the wins on Wednesday and Friday night, Cleveland and Dallas tonight. That's a good week. That's a good week. And you kick off another one on Sunday, back-to-back with Toronto in town. They lose tonight in overtime to the Lakers. And you have the Miami Heat who blew out OKC. They'll be resting as they visit Philadelphia on Monday. By the way, the score in Miami, 120-108. There's a blowout going on right now. Who was it? Utah over the Clippers, 98-58 to start the fourth quarter. You heard me right.
Wait, hold on.
98-58 over the Clippers right now. Fourth quarter, really, just started. 11:31 to play in the fourth quarter.
That's brutal. But I got to ask you a question.
40 points. There's another one. Can I give you this one first?
Yeah.
The Pelicans were up huge, too. They wound up beating the Spurs 121-91. But I think their lead was 40. Their lead was by 40 points at one point. Yeah. Guys didn't come to play tonight in those two teams. Go ahead.
So you sent me a video.
I did.
And it was one of the most hellacious, awful, abhorrent, whatever kind of adjective and adverb that you want to use to describe a single offensive possession in the NBA.
Yep.
You're telling me the Lakers won that game?
Lakers won that game.
That was the ugliest possession I've ever seen in my life.
When I first saw the video and I saw LeBron shoot a 3 and he missed it badly, Westbrook gets the rebound.
Misses that one terrible.
I thought they were going to show him making a shot because all of the jokes had been him missing.
Right.
Looking terrible out there on the floor. But he was awful again.
That was one of the worst. I mean, like outside of the, do you remember the possession? It was prime process. Michael Carter Williams flipped it and it went off the backboard and the Clippers went the other way. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But that was like clown show.
A lot of follies.
That was like clown show because it was like, some guys that shouldn't have been in the NBA versus a prime Clippers team. This is the Lakers team that was supposed to be good. That was like the ugliest possession I've ever seen.
All right, man. We got to go. Come right back. Larry, you first Worried about the Nets. Interesting. We'll talk about that, where the Sixers are positioning-wise as far as the standings go. Cleveland got the win. Toronto got the loss. So they have a full game up on the Raptors. We'll talk to Larry about that. Scott and Hatboro as well. Talk a little Sixers rebounding, where it has not been great all season. We'll discuss it all as we go in the post until midnight tonight. 610-632-0975. Talking some Sixers. We're not ignoring the NCAA tournament. A lot to discuss there as well. Eagles, Phillies also will do it with you until midnight on this Friday. 610-632-0975 right here. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. My apologies as I finished taking down these wrist crackers. Talked about them a lot on the air. Actually got tweets and stuff and texts about, hey, the Ritz are the best. When I have the wrist crackers at the nighttime. Yeah,
you are a big, you're a big Ritz crackers guy.
I told you, and I love them when they sell them in those family pack things where they're individual. The little tiny packs instead of the long sleeve.
Yeah.
They give you the short sleeve of the Ritz, and, you know, a decent amount in there. You can take them down in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, like a week ago? Uh-huh. I went to go get a snack. You're like, nah, I got crackers. We're good.
All good.
All right, cool. I don't have to put any money in the vending machine.
All good. Crackers, the apples, the individually cut apples that are in the Mott's, you know, those little packs. Love those as the snack of choice during the show. 610-632-0975.
That's probably why you don't sleep when you go home. Because you got your tea, you got caffeine.
I do.
And then the apples are like the natural energy.
Yeah.
That's probably why you're not sleeping when you go home.
Could be, man. Anything surprise you with the tournament today?
No, not necessarily. The only game that I thought that, like, and this was an underdog that I just thought was going to be a team that could make some noise. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech losing today was a little shocking to me, just how they kind of went through the ACC tournament. But
I think I had them winning two games.
I did too. But other than that, not really. I mean, there's not been a St. Peter's level victory today.
Yeah, you didn't get your thoughts on that from last night.
Yeah, that was shocking, and. We were watching the game here while we were doing the Flyers game, and St. Peter's didn't have the size, didn't have the speed, didn't have the athleticism, didn't have the talent, quite frankly, and they just never went away. And it was a really enjoyable game. As somebody who had no stake in the game, because I don't really care about my bracket this year, we only did one here just amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
And other than that, like, I didn't really do anything crazy. It was really fun to watch.
Was.
And I got to be honest, I have had so much fun watching these games, this tournament. I have no money on the line. I have no betting interest. I mean, I'll put a couple dollars here and there with, you know, some of the stuff we've talked about. But it's been so much fun just watching and enjoying these games.
Has been. It's good basketball.
I might keep doing this trend. I might be out on, I'll do a bracket, but I might be out on putting money on it.
Yeah, yeah. And occasionally, again, we'll check in on DraftKings, and we took advantage of, and we shared it with everybody, we took advantage of the Gonzaga DraftKings gimme, basically, and that one worked out. But other than that, yeah, you're right, man. Just kind of sit back, watch the games, enjoy them, and see how it played out. Good games today.
We've been back and forth, like, oh, who you got, you know. I got Davidson, you got Michigan State, like, but if Davidson doesn't win tonight, I'm not going to be,
no,
you know, in my car driving home like with gritted teeth and bleep this and bleep that. It's, you know, I've done that before. I had back-to-back years where my tournament champion lost on day one, and with some actual money on the line, I was miserable. I'm enjoying this, just being able to watch games.
No doubt. The two that I had from yesterday that lost, Kentucky and UConn, I thought, of course, we're going to win.
I actually did take New Mexico State.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
I had Kentucky winning, obviously. I guess the one tonight would be, because the game's going on right now, if there were to be that kind of Kentucky-level upset, would be Colgate in Wisconsin.
Mm.
That Colgate team shoots really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play a lick of defense, but.
Understood. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Nova, big win, too.
Yeah, it was a good win today.
Yes,
that Delaware team played hard for a while.
Yeah, they went on this 10-0 run, though. After that, going into the halftime, 10-0 run, it was like, all right, that's enough. And Jameer struggled. Nelson Jr., he struggled. So with that, tough one for them. 20-point win by the Cats. They move on. Who do they have next?
Ohio State.
Ohio State. They're going to beat Ohio
State. They should win that game.
Yeah, they're going to beat Ohio State. I had them losing to Tennessee once they won.
The following round.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone. 610-632-0975. Some games going on. We'll update you as we go along. Johnny Davis, Wisconsin. Good player. Check him out, too, while we talk tonight. Larry in Northeast on in the post with us here. Larry.
I don't mean to be a downer, but unless they had a mistake in the paper the other day, they said there was someone from the Nets that scored 60 points? How are we going to stop him?
Well, same way, how are they going to stop Joel Embiid, who scored 50?
And the other thing is about Howie Roseman. How do you like him getting that 3-year extension?
I don't love it because I'm not a big Howie Roseman guy. I give him credit when he does things well as far as the moves that he makes, but I'm not the biggest fan like many, Larry, of Howie Roseman. So I don't particularly care for it, but I also knew that he wasn't going anywhere because for whatever reason, the owner just loves him and he feels like he's done a great job and he's not going anywhere. So for me, you know how we all say it is what it is and you can't stand saying it is what it is? It is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it. He's always going to come back. He's never going anywhere.
Right. And if the reporters bother in glory about it, I guess it will make a difference. He'll come up with some explanation. Okay, thanks so much.
No problem, man. No problem at all. Larry, thanks for the call. 610-632-0975. Right to the point. How do you counter Kyrie Irving's 60? Joel Embiid, his 50. How do you stop that? So,
no, that, I mean, the simple answer to counter Kyrie Irving's 60 is just play at the Barclays Center, but...
Yeah, pretty much.
Other than that, he's played exceptionally well the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's had some games that have been, I mean, highlight reel worthy. But you've got a guy of your own. I mean, now if you're going to balance that and KD's also going to give you 38, then you've got an issue, but you get there when you get there.
Absolutely. Again, how are they going to stop Joel Embiid? Send the double teams? Of course. That's easy. Easy answer. Easy answer. And he also spoke up about Howie Roseman and his extension. Didn't expect that today. When we talk about giving somebody a 3-year deal, we're looking at players. Maybe Tyrann Mathieu or Allen Robinson before he went to L.A. Not Howie Roseman. I wasn't thinking along those lines. As I mentioned, I'm not a fan. I give him credit when he does things well. Not a fan. Don't want him here for another 3 years. Even when I don't like you, I can respect the work that you do. If Kevin Garnett was here in his prime and I couldn't stand him and he deserved a 3-year extension, please, let's do it. Call it, you know, you give the credit where credit is due. You place the blame at the feet when it deserves it. I don't know that he was worthy of a 3-year extension right now, but Jeffrey Lurie did. Ty, what do you think?
You know, I have kind of softened my take on Howie Roseman a little bit. Last year, we were all incredibly, incredibly frustrated, and rightfully so. But I've softened my take a little bit to the point where I think the best way to look at this is critically and fairly to say we've talked about this before, the quantity of miss is not nearly as high as you think it is. It's not, oh my goodness, Roseman makes the wrong pick every single time. Because actually the quantity of his success to fail ratio is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the later rounds. You get a Josh Sweat, you get a Jordan Mailata. You balance these things out.
And we give him credit for those. We don't ignore those.
It's the quality of miss.
It's the ones that are up top.
Correct. It's the ones we all talk about.
And we always, depth is important. Look, we're talking about the Sixers. Their offseason has to be about everybody else, right? The starting lineup, whatever happens with Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle in the offseason, all right, cool. It's about depth this offseason for the Sixers.
Sure.
We give credit for the depth picks like Matisse Thybulle, Tyrese Maxey. We give credit where credit is due when you make those picks in the later part of the first round, in the second round as well. We destroy the Sixers when they miss on Jalen Brunson, who's a there for you that you've seen for three seasons, and he goes into the second round, and he's going to get a big-time contract extension. You don't touch him, right? You don't take him. Well, we destroy you for that, for missing out on a player that could at least right now either be your starting guard or your backup guard to James Harden, or maybe you make a different trade because he's there. We give credit to Howie Roseman for those picks that are late. We also get on him, and deservingly so, for missing on the ones that should be more clearer of hits in the first round and even in the second, like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Sure, and that's the issue. That's the issue, is the quality is egregious. It's Justin Jefferson. It's not trading up for CeeDee Lamb. It's not, it's DK Metcalf. It's Jeremy Chinn. And obviously, that conversation's different because you end up with your eventual starting quarterback.
Which still, at the moment,
doesn't mean it was right. Right. So it's all of these egregious misses that are the quality or lack thereof that are much more important to a lot of people than the quantity, which is much lower than people actually want to give Howie Roseman credit for.
Fair enough. 610-632-0975. We'll talk about a few more things with the Birds in a minute, but right now we got to go to Scott in Hatboro, who's been waiting patiently to join us in the post. Scott.
Gentlemen, good evening. Hey, listen, that was a great game tonight. And to be honest with you, I've been enjoying this whole season, especially since Harden came. Of course, I'm enjoying it twice as much. I want to see them go as far as they possibly can. I really am enjoying this team. There is going to be a downfall if they don't correct it and correct it fast.
Well, like I said a little bit earlier, Scott, Doc Rivers recognizes things, and Embiid speaks publicly about getting things right. James Harden tonight tweeted after the game, even in a victory, to your point, Scott, a really good game tonight. We going to get this bleep right. And so they know what they need to clean up as they close the season down with 14 regular season games before we get to April in the postseason.
I hope that's the case because, you know, their rebounding is terrible. Their rebounding is costing them not only points, obviously it's points, it's their momentum swingers. They're missing a 3-point shot and all five players are backpedaling down to the other defensive side of the court. Nobody's even going, nobody follows their shots and their hands when they're trying to rebound off of the other team's offensive possession. Their hands are not there. They're losing these rebounds. They're getting lost in transition, and they're losing points. And that's digging into third quarter leads. Mm-hmm. If they don't right that ship, they're not going to go far in the playoffs because the good teams are rebounding, offensive and defensive. They're rebounding. These guys are getting second, third, fourth attempts. So I'd really like to see them clean up their rebounding. See what you guys think about that.
Well, no, and you too, Scott. Enjoy the rest of your night and your weekend. Rebounding has been a big thing for the Sixers all season long. We've been talking about it so much where they have to clean up that area. Rebounding, we knew when Simmons was not playing this season, period, just not playing before the trade, rebounding suffered, and part of it was because of how great he was as a rebounder from his position. So it was going to suffer with Tyrese Maxey taking over that role, that point guard position. You do get it from James Harden. They do come differently as far as the rebounding goes. Tobias Harris also rebounds the ball well from his position also. So hopefully they can clean up those things and it doesn't bite them as much as we've seen it throughout the season, especially in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to add to that. You're 100% spot on with, Simmons was... We knew exactly what the losses and the positives were going to be when Simmons was off the floor, and one of the big-time losses was defensive rebounds. When you're 6'10", and you're playing the point guard position, you're going to out-rebound most of your direct opposition. And that's just, I mean, that's kind of a given. That's just kind of how we expected this to be. And, you know, it's a pretty stark drop from being a top five team to being closer to the back third.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, unfortunately, that's kind of one of the negatives of the situation at hand. There were a lot of positives.
Yep.
That's one of the negatives, one of the drawbacks.
Yep. Absolutely, man. 610, again, 632-0975. As far as the birds go, Todd, just to kind of update people on the local things with the football team, one being Boston Scott again. They did not tender him, but they bring him back on a one-year deal. We talked about him as being a good rotational back. We know he can have some success here when he's part of the squad, but we also said that they will probably address the running back position in the draft next month. Still believe that they'll address that position in the draft next month. No issues, I'm sure you don't have, like I don't have, with Boston Scott coming back on a one-year deal.
Nah, I mean...
Doesn't bother me.
Nah, I don't think it bothers me either. I, you know me, I've been pretty high on selecting a running back in this draft, and especially if you're going to be somebody that's like a fourth to seventh round pick where the guarantee is low, the salary is low, I'd prefer a player of that nature compared to... Boston Scott, just in the context of payments, right? But Boston Scott is serviceable. You know, he'd give you that burst game against the Giants seemingly every year. But, you know, I guess comparing the two, I'd have preferred a younger back, but I guess you can't get much younger than they've already done with Kenny Gainwell and Miles Sanders. But it's like it's such a net neutral for me. It's not a bad thing, and it's not a great thing.
Just play him against the Giants, and all is good. He's earned his one-year contract when you play against the Giants. 610-632-0975. That's all you need, playing him against the Giants. No question about it. Also, as far as the birds go, safety position, Anthony Harris, one-year deal as well. Comes back on a one-year deal to play the safety position. Once again, for the Philadelphia Eagles, I would have preferred an upgrade, just to be completely honest with you. I would have preferred an upgrade. Both he and Rodney McLeod were free agents. Didn't expect either of them to come back with Anthony Harris at the free safety position and Rodney McLeod at the strong safety spot. They also keep Marcus Epps around, which I don't mind Marcus Epps. A lot of people don't like him. I like him as a third safety. I just don't like him being my starter. And he can help out special teams. He can do certain things when he's the third safety, but coming in to help on certain defensive packages that they have where they need extra DBs. If they have more corners, maybe they don't need him, but he's more physical than some of the DBs. So, I mean, the corners, so it helps out overall. I don't mind Marcus Epps one bit. Kayvon Wallace, bit of a disappointment for me since he's been here. But I thought they would upgrade the Anthony Harris position at free safety. Could still do that with a draft pick somewhere in there. I don't know. But one-year deal, I'm not mad. He knows the system. He's fine.
How much of a disappointment can Kayvon Wallace be as a fourth-round pick? I
don't know. I just liked him more in college. I thought he would translate better to the NFL.
I think a lot of us did.
Yeah,
and I think that there was a moment. We were all here. It was myself, you, and Joe Torti.
Yes, sir.
We all looked at each other, and I think it was... I forget who the other safety was. It was Taylor. I want to say it was Taylor Rapp, but it wasn't. But whoever his opposite safety at Clemson was got selected first. And the three of us looked at each other and went,
like, how?
Why?
Yeah.
And it didn't make any sense. And listen, he's not done anything wrong. Like, objectively, there's nothing wrong, but he hasn't done anything that's been overtly exciting either. And granted, injuries have played a part in that. But I think that we all got really excited because he was part of a good defense that won a national championship.
Bingo. With all those guys up front.
Right. With Cleveland Farrell was a first-round pick.
And
Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence was a first-round pick. There was a lot of really, really good players on that Clemson defense. So we all got really excited that it was like, oh my goodness, how he got this steal. And quite frankly, it was a guy that is a depth player in the NFL, and that's totally fine.
It is.
But I think we all had over-exaggerated expectations.
Yeah. And again, coming from the program, maybe it was more of that. And the production that he had, and looking at him translating a little bit more to the league, and he's probably just going to be a backup for his career, can step in, spot duties, spot starts when need be. But right now, he cannot be my starter. Neither can Marcus Epps. Can't be my starter at the strong safety spot.
And that's where doing the balance of, like, when you have a great team like that, it's the Alabamas, the Georgias, those Clemson teams, doing the balance of, has the system and the players around this guy made this guy, or is this guy actually legitimately good? Mm-hmm. And that's why when you watch some of the tape, there's guys that jump out to you right away. Will Anderson is going to be a top five pick in next year's draft for Alabama. You could put me and you out there with him, and the guy's going to make plays.
Right.
But sometimes it happens, right? You get this bolster of talent around you where it's like an insane combination of guys that are all first and second round picks in the NFL, and you look better than you actually are. Sean Wade was that way for Ohio State. You had Jeff Okuda around him and some other good, some good safeties in the back behind him. Sean Wade looked great until Sean Wade was supposed to be the number one guy, and then all of a sudden he stunk.
We've seen that a lot with players. When you play for these dominant programs with great defenses, great offenses, and we rate them at a certain spot because of the production that they have with other greats.
Sure.
And we say, you know what? Why not all of them go to the pros and be great? Everybody, I guess, can't. And when you get there, some of them are, you know, put under a microscope at that point, and you're like, I can't do it by himself without that group. Even when in the pros, what's the corner from the Seattle Seahawks that we got here years ago that played for the Legion of Boom?
Byron Maxwell.
Byron Maxwell. I never wanted him. I didn't like him. Even when he was there, it was like, all right, he's one of those guys that plays well with them. Didn't like the contract. Understood that
played a lot of zone out
needed
there.
A corner, and he was going to come here and do all. It was like, oh, I don't like this contract. That one did not work out well. So you see it in the pros too, but specifically when we're talking about that, they need help at the safety spot. They still need to address the position, but I'm not mad at Anthony Harris coming back on a one-year deal also. So it's what it is. Let's go to Sean in Brookhaven, who does want to talk a little Birds draft here with us tonight as we talk a lot of hoops. What's up, Sean?
What's up? I think the Birds should definitely address defense in the first round, but like I think the cornerback position is the main spot we should really address. And if we get another corner over edge, yeah. Because I think if we get a lockdown like Sauce, because like Sauce Gardner is one of those guys that jumps off the tape.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Unbelievable talent. And like if we use two of those first round picks to trade up or something else, to get Sauce, man, I think that really perfects our defense right there.
Yeah, man, he's a really good player, as you, Tyler, Sean, and I know that he's really, really good. And it's crazy because before all of the combine and the individual workouts or individual meetings and all started to happen, Sean, remember he was mocked right around the Eagles' picks and no longer because they got a whiff of Sauce. With those combine stuff and the meetings and all that, and he may not be there for the Birds, so you might be right. They might have to move up a little bit if he is the target.
All right. Thank you.
Got it. You too, man. Appreciate it, Sean. 610-632-0975. Final segment for us. By the way, something with the Charlotte Hornets. Tyler and everybody else listening, Charlotte Hornets, as I'm looking here, I'm looking at the stats here, and the Hornets, the Sixers play them one more time at the end of the season. They are they are the definition of balance, as ESPN puts it. They are 35-35, 17-17 in Charlotte, 18-18 away, and 22-22 versus the East, 13-13 against the West.
ESPN put it nicely, definition of balance, because I'd put it a little bit more harsh. That's the definition of average.
It's average, yeah. They'll get you. They'll sting you, if you will, if you lay off of them.
Boo.
A little bit. All right, my bad. But they are definitely an average basketball team. But look, they're fun. They will be better because they'll add more pieces. Definitely average. Definitely average. Oh. Oh, did you see this? Your boy, Nick? The Instagram?
Yep.
Oh, we got to get to that on the other side.
I might have to make some apologies.
Oh, you might have to. Might have to. We'll get to that on the other side. Leftovers tonight, Tyler? Yes, 20 minutes leftovers right here in the post. Sixers win by 10. Good win over the Mavs right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, they're taking their shot. That's certainly something there. 13 minutes, the leftovers with Tyler Zuli, but we have an early one that's not even a leftover. It's a breakfast at 11:33 where we get the news. And Tyler Zuli, I'm going to let you do this one because this is something that you've been talking about. I know Andrew Souchunas and Connor Tom, Pat Egan.
Yep.
Man, Philly fans.
Oh, man, I owe some people.
Who are the two people specifically?
Specifically, John Middleton.
Is it two people or just one?
It's probably a lot of people, but specifically, right. John Middleton,
man,
and the Phillies front office, Dave Dombrowski specifically. Because according to Jeff Passan, outfielder Nick Castellanos and the Philadelphia Phillies are in agreement on a contract. Sources familiar with the deal tell ESPN the Phillies are going over the luxury tax.
They're getting it done, Tyler. They're going all in. They got their other man. Now, remember when we talked about Schwarber coming in and we said, well, still need something else. It's great. It's kind of, you know, when we talked about the Andrew McCutchen as the example, Bryce Harper, it was cute. That was a cute one. This takes it over the top for you now.
Yeah.
It's a really good offseason.
So, yeah, and here's the thing. I don't think they're going to spend any more money. I'd love to see the acquisition of another starter, but at this point I can't complain about if they don't do anything else.
Nah.
Listen to this, too, by the way.
The offense, man.
We got the numbers.
Oh, please do.
5 years.
Wow.
$100 million.
So I heard something.
That's not bad.
I was listening to Anthony. I know I was listening to Anthony. But it was, I think it was either Anthony or Mike's show. And somebody brought up the numbers of like 5 for $105 and being satisfied with that. And, yo, 5 for $100? Ty, I'm thrilled with that. I'm thrilled with that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they could have spent more. And I'm really kind of shocked that they didn't get outbid. And I'd love to know what some of the other teams put bids in for. Especially some of the teams that have, you know, that are willing to spend the money. I know Toronto is linked and a couple other teams. I'd love to know what the other bids are because that's, I mean, listen, let's step back. $20 million, a lot of money, of course. But for this deal,
well, we're talking,
not a lot of money.
Let's call for what it is. We're talking about
sports money.
Yeah. So that's not a lot of money, all things considered. So last year, his stats tie 34 homers. In 138 games and a batting average of .309, on-base percentage of .362. So when you look at what he was able to do and look at where the team is and you talk about the balance of the offense now and, you know, just the fact that you can just bring this in and just give you some good overall production. Good overall production for the Reds. Where he was able to, again, 531 at-bats, 95 runs, 164 hits, batting .309, 100 ribbies. I'll take it. So, Ty, I know you. Give us the lineup.
So, I would go.
You still going Schwarber to lead off, or does this change now?
Can I go back to my original answer?
You might be able to.
I would go Harper.
No, Harper one.
Schwarber.
Harper.
No. Take that back.
Okay, let's cross that off.
Harper.
Harper.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. You got to get this right because tomorrow at 12 o'clock, you're going to be live.
Yeah.
Again.
All right.
Where are you going to be?
We will be at the Parks Race and Sportsbook.
Parks Race and Sportsbook.
In Chickie and Pete's in Malvern.
In Malvern. Yes. And Chickie's and Pete's. And you are, I know you're going to talk a lot about this.
For
so
sure.
Absolutely. Lineups, what he does in the field, all of this stuff. Make sure you all listen at 12 o'clock. Tyler will have you covered. Talking a lot of baseball tomorrow with Nick, Kyle. We're in first name basis with these guys when you come to Philadelphia, no matter. James. Talk about James and what he did tonight, right? Tomorrow, make sure you're listening to Tyler Zuli from 12 to 3 tomorrow. So go ahead. Harper.
All right, so I would go Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos,
yep,
Hoskins,
ooh,
Realmuto.
Realmuto.
Then I would go.
That's your five. That's your boppers.
I would probably go. I'm doing this without going lefty righty. I've got to kind of put that together as well. I would probably go. It depends on who's playing short. At that point, I'm going
Didi
Gregorius six. Mm. Then I would go Segura.
Forgot about G.
Boom.
Boom. In the pitcher.
No, DH, remember.
Oh, that's right.
So it would be whoever's in center field that day.
Yeah, yeah, that's right about that. That's right. So you got, you don't want to say Odubel.
Veerling.
So you go Veerling.
Sure, Veerling, cool.
On that one. I got to get used to that.
By the way, I'm just putting up some of the numbers here. Obviously, Castellanos spent time with the Reds. Mm-hmm. 328, 370, 325. The corners and dead center. Citizens Bank Park, 330, 369, 330. Mm-hmm. Equal small ballparks. Mm-hmm. He's going to hit some home runs here.
Big year last year.
They're going to hit a lot of home runs this
34
team.
Home runs, big year last year. The five up top, you'd expect some big numbers. Must watch TV again? Must see TV? Offense?
Offensively, at least, yeah.
What does it mean for the pitching staff?
They're going to win a lot of games 11-10.
There you go.
And quite frankly, listen, we'll talk more about their defense throughout the year. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But just be excited tonight.
Offense makes up for a lot of things when your defense is bad. We've seen it plenty of times in all sports. Defense is bad, but you can put up points. You can make up for a lot of things in that regard. So as I look at my DraftKings Sportsbook app, Tyler, I go to regular season wins, and now things are right now as it sits. I don't know what it was earlier.
It's 82.5.
It's 84.5 on mine.
Sounds about right. Two-game jump for that kind of signing.
Mets, 90.5.
Okay.
Miami, 76.5. Washington, 71.5.
71?
71. For, I said Washington.
Yeah, yes. They're not good, but I didn't think it'd be that low.
Yep. And the Braves.
What's Miami at, like 12?
I said them already. I'll get back to them. 90 for the Braves. 90 for the Mets. 90.5 for the Braves and the Mets. Washington, 71.5. Miami, 76.5. And the Phillies, 84.5. So the Phillies right now are third in the East in terms of regular season wins for the squad.
That's still fair. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Got to see it.
Sure.
In order for it to jump. Make the playoffs, no, minus 130, yes, plus 110.
I mean, I think at this point with the expansion of playoffs, they have a very legitimate shot at it, assuming they're not going to have a 4-5 ERA the
plus
whole time.
Plus 110 is a solid number.
I would take it. At this point, I would take it.
Solid number. Good signing. Make sure you listen to Tyler Zuli tomorrow at noon or go join him in Malvern. It's going to be a nice weather day overall, temperature-wise. May get a little rain, so everybody be careful as you trek throughout. But overall, again, good show with Tyler tomorrow. Make sure you go check my man out. Let's go to Chuck in Las Vegas to talk about this new signing here with the Phils tonight. 5 years, $100 million. Chuck, what's going on, man?
Devon, I'm ecstatic. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've enjoyed watching Castellanos over the years. He seems to raise the ball. Like the exit velocity that he has, that's something that always stood out to me. I think Phillies fans are going to love this guy. Plays with a lot of passion, a lot of heart. And I like the Schwarber signing, but I was saying to myself, man, are we going to go in with Bohm, Gregorius, and Herrera as everyday players? And now that Phil's one of those, and I think our lineup is one of the best in the National League now.
Mm. Yeah, man, 5 years, $100 million. This is a really good deal, and they have a very good lineup, man, a very good lineup here for the next couple of seasons. Yep.
And, you know, you're talking about 84. Man, I would hammer that over quickly before that number goes up. I'm bullish yet again on the Phillies. And, you know, we just talked about the lineup, but I have some confidence in our rotation, Devon, because Well, namely because of Ranger Suarez. I know it's just one guy, but I think he's one of the most underappreciated guys in the city, and he's going to keep things rolling. And yeah, I just can't wait for the season, especially now with great news tonight.
All right, so I'll ask you for your rotation now. Wheeler is your one. What do you go after that? Do you split things up? Do you go Ranger 2, Nola 3, or do you keep Nola at 2?
Yeah, I mean, I would just keep Nola at the 2. You know, I don't see what good it does to drop. I could be, you know, he would face maybe some meter matchups, but yeah, to me, show some confidence in Aaron Nola. He needs to have a big year. You know, don't be moving him down in the rotation. Say to him, look, you're our number two guy, and Ranger's a grip.
Chuck, you're going in and out with your phone. Sorry about that, man. Thanks for the call, as always. Really appreciate it. Tyler, I asked him that because of the left-handed.
Sure. I think you probably do go Suarez, and maybe not in the beginning, but when you're matching up your rotation late in the stretch, he would become your de facto two.
Two, yeah.
To go righty, lefty, righty.
Yeah, and then you go Eflin in the four?
No, I'd go Gibson in the four.
Go Gibson?
Yeah.
I forgot about Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, I don't think. Not sure if Eflin's going to be 100%.
Yeah, and they talked about him looking like he, you know, be able to come back and all. They're confident in coming back.
I would probably
So it's not a bad rotation. It's not bad.
No, it would be beautiful with Sean Manaea, but it's really quite, you know, listen, I spoke last week. I'm not thrilled about it because of the fact that everybody else's rotation got better. Obviously, Scherzer joining the Mets is the big one.
Yeah.
But I watched this offense grow over the offseason, and I'm not thrilled about it. I think you're going to get PO'd a lot of times if this team goes cold all at once and they lose 12-0. But now that the offense is comparable or it balances the scales, it'll be certainly interesting. It's got a lot of 2007 Phillies vibes to it, that's for sure.
It does, man. That's, again, and even that was fun. We didn't know it was going to come so fast where they got the World Series.
Sure.
But it did. It happened, and we didn't know it turned around so quickly. But, hey, man, good signing by the Phils. The rotation is, again, with Wheeler and Nola and Suarez, Eflin and Gibson. And I forgot about Gibson. That's my mistake. That's not bad. It's not bad at all. And, by the way, if they're playing well at the deadline, Ty, and you're not getting much from Eflin at that point, you could probably do something to make a move. You never know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that move seriously may include him, because he's running out of team control and his stuff is legit. And when he's on, he's super on. And when he's off, he's not. So
before you start the leftovers, 4-point game. The tournament is the tournament, man. This stuff always happens. Michigan State, 7th seed, 4-point lead over Davidson with 38 seconds to play.
Up to 6 now.
It's the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, tournament is tournament. It's great. All right, it's 11:45. We got to hear the screeching. And then we got to go to the bang. Allow you to introduce myself, Tyler.
Speaking of the tournament, got a couple of stories from the tournament. We'll start with everybody's favorite. Everybody loves to talk about their bracket. It's kind of like fantasy football. No one actually cares about your bracket, but we all talk about your bracket. And the official end of perfection happened earlier today.
Oh, no. Who was left?
The last bracket was 27-0 heading into the Iowa State LSU game, and that person selected LSU to win the game. So it took 28 games of the 32 games in the tournament, but the final perfect bracket is officially over. There was only like 150 left midday, and there was only about 1,000 at the end of day one.
Wow. So I too thought LSU would win. Obviously, as I mentioned, I wanted Iowa State to win for those reasons that I laid out earlier. And wow, okay. It's been a weird, not a weird tournament. It has been, Tyler, the tournament.
The tournament.
Period.
Precisely.
Exactly.
Speaking of a team, however, that we know, when you go to the tournament and it's wild and crazy, a team that we know isn't going to lose in the first round, and they didn't. We'll go over to the women's side here. Talk about Dawn Staley, South Carolina team. They are unbelievable. The top-seeded South Carolina Gamecocks today broke a record for holding a team to the least amount of points in an NCAA tournament game, as South Carolina dispatched Howard 79-21. The 21 points by the Bison is the lowest ever, which was set by Kansas State at 26 in 2012. I don't know what's crazier. The 21 total points, the 44-4 halftime lead, or the 60-8 lead at the end of the third quarter.
60-8? Oh, my goodness. Dawn is the best. If anything, man, when you have some downtime one day, Ty, you got to listen to J.J. Redick's podcast, Old Man and the Three. You know, sure. I'm a J.J.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah, of course.
He and Tommy also do the podcast. They had Dawn on there a little while ago, a couple episodes
back. She's incredible.
Fantastic. Got to check it out. All right. She's the best. I love her.
So we do have some.
And very nice, by the way. Yeah. Very, very nice.
That's awesome.
Very sweet. My man Anthony Gilbert. You know our friend.
Yeah, of course.
And introduced me to her one year. We were at the game, at the Sixers game. She was very, very. He told her my name, all that stuff. She was like, "What's your name again? Say it again." You know what I'm saying? So sure. She wouldn't forget the name when I saw her again later.
Very cool.
Said it again. She's the best.
I mean, you know, to have somebody who is of that level of stardom, superstardom in playing days.
So down to
earth. She's a superstar coach now.
So down
to be able to be cool like
basketball
that.
Basketball
well.
Legend.
We have another story that we got to get to, but I want to get this in before we run out of time for our Friday night leftovers. Unfortunate news. Longtime ESPN correspondent, reporter. You see him on TV a lot. You read his articles. You hear him on radio and things like that. John Clayton passed away today.
Oh, man, yeah, yeah.
And you know, I think that
sad.
We all, there's a lot of things that I'm going to say, but we all remember John Clayton for different things, but we can all agree this is the best commercial ESPN has ever made.
Classic.
And I'm not even going to talk it. I'm going to play it.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton. He's the consummate pro.
We'll see how the 4-3 and the cover 3 work together.
John Clayton with the latest.
Thanks, Dan. Take care.
Whenever we need a brilliant insight, he's available at the drop of a hat.
Hey, Mom, I'm done with my segment.
That's classic, man. Always classic. In the basement, at home, Mom, making fun of himself. And all the stories you hear is he was a great, great man. I remember producing on weekends and stuff, and guys would be like, hey, can you see if you can get John Clayton? Text John Clayton. John will always be so, so nice. Just a sweet man when you get him on the phone, talk to you until it was time for him to go on. Text him later, say thank you. Always a sweet man. So sorry to hear that news.
Yeah, you said that. Pat Egan said that in a tweet form. I've heard so many stories today about
such
him helping,
a nice guy.
Helping businesses get off the ground. He's willing to talk to everybody and anybody. Never big times you.
Never
big times you. So obviously, it's in our industry, he's amongst the greats, and he'll definitely be missed.
He'll be missed. Sad news.
One final story here today as we go to the NFL. This one's been weird. So the Bills offered a contract to J.D. McKissick, running back from Washington, and he agreed to do the deal, and then Washington swooped in last minute and signed him. Now, Washington apparently thought that they were out of this conversation, but all of a sudden they saw the money and they said, wait, hold on, we'll come back in. Now, Brandon Bean, who is the GM of the Bills, who's done a really good job of putting that team together, wanted J.D. McKissick to be a weapon in that offense, and he is not happy with the last-minute decision. He basically said that once the owner, or once the team agrees to a deal, the agent is supposed to say, hey, we're done. That never happened. And Washington and the Commanders now have re-signed J.D. McKissick. It's a weird situation. He is not happy.
Not happy. Wow. Not happy. I mean, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. That's business. The player saw a better situation for him, and he took what was available to him and ran with it. I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad. It is what it is.
And that, Devon, those are our leftovers for Friday night.
Great stuff as always, man. Again, sorry to hear that news about John Clayton. A great, very nice man. Very nice man from my dealings with him. Just over the phone and that's it. But that time, I remember it. Great, great man. By the way, I'm looking at Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia, following Jim Salisbury's tweet about Castellanos and Schwarber. 9 years, $179 million combined for both players. As Corey says, it seems like a pretty fair price. Tyler Zoli will talk a lot more about this tomorrow beginning at noon. Tyrone Johnson at 9 a.m. as well. And make sure you all tune in. Great win tonight by the Sixers. Everybody have a great weekend. Be safe. I'll talk to you pregame before the Sixers and Raptors Sunday, 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.